Okay, it's great to see. It's great to see everyone again. I want to thank Harvey and Sharon Alice for sponsoring tonight's Shir, learning in memory of Harvey's father, Moshe Yehuda Ben Shalom, who died. It was 50 years ago or so. 46 years ago. Who I never met, obviously, but Harvey's son, Mike. Mike Alice is a good friend of mine and a colleague who bears his name, Moshe Yehuda. And just judging by the work he does, I just know personally in school, he's a psychologist in charge of student support, helps around 100 students not only make it, but thrive educationally and socially, taking care of their needs. And I'm sure all that work, what he does in the shul in Grey Neck, will bring a big ilui to your father's shalom, in addition to all your learning, and those shears should be in his memory. All right, so we know now what's behind the Shalom Aleichem, if you're here for that shear. Eish Yeschayil, benching our children. We spoke about kiddush, there's small ones there. I couldn't find any more big ones there. I'm not trying to say, we know about salt. Why there's salt on the table, and I know for myself the last two weeks, my Shabbos was different. Trying to be mamtik the dinim, dipping the chal in the salt three times. Every time I've had bread during the week, it's been going through my head as well. And tonight we'll move along and discuss covering the chala. We all cover the chala. I imagine on Friday night and Shabbos day, you'll see different people act confused on Shalosh Shudos. And we'll try to understand why we cover the challah. There are a couple of reasons in the Rishonim, and I think some of them, there's what to say to add meaning to why we cover the challah. It's not just a pure halachic discussion. And we'll also discuss a little bit halachically. There are going to be a lot of nuances and differences between the different mefarshim as to why we cover the challah. And then, if there's time at the end, I'm going to explain why I do something different than just about every Jew, and I purposely don't keep my challah on the table Friday night until after Kiddush. And we'll talk about that. Oh boy, it starts with the Gemara. The Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Kufam and Beis. Just to preface, there's a big machlokas in the Gemara. If a person starts, give me 1 second, Keith. If a person starts eating Friday afternoon, personally, a big meal Friday afternoon, and now Shabbos hits. So what does he have to do? Does he have to stop his meal, bench, clear the table, set the table, make Kiddush, and start again? That's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. We don't paskin that way. The second position is Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says you can continue. You start your meal at 3 o'clock. It's Friday afternoon. When do people do this sometimes? On Purim. When Purim falls out on Friday, you'll see people have that meal, the Paris Mapu Makadish. Rabbi Yossi, you can continue eating. When you're done with your meal, you'll bench and you'll say Kiddush. And that meal counts as your Shabbos meal. Then there's the middle position, which is Shmuel, who says Paris Mapa Umakadish. You cover the bread, and then you'll make Kiddush and continue your meal. With that in mind, Keith, you had a question?
I was wondering if we had time to cover why we have two challahs Friday night. And
excellent. So that's next time.
Okay.
The plan originally was to do salt, covering the challah, and double challah in the same week. Each topic was so vast that we split it up into three. And it's a good way to get you to come back. So the Gemara says, Rabba Bar Rav Huna Ikla Berish Galusa. Rabba Bar Rav Huna traveled to the house of the Rish Galusa. Aisu Tacha Kameh. They brought bread in front of him. So Paris Mapa the Kiddush, he covered the bread with a covering, a mapa, a tablecloth, a covering, and he made Kiddush. Very nice. The Gemara says, Tanya Mihachi, the supporting Brysa. She'ein mevi'in es ha'shulchan ela im kiddush. You don't bring the table. Back in the time of the Gemara, Tosfos points out, each person had their own table. So don't bring the table to the person ela im kain kiddush, unless he made kiddush. Vim hevi, if he did bring it, so then, poris mapo mekadish, you cover the table. Nowadays, you cover the bread and you make kiddush. So Rabba Bar Rav Huna went, they brought him bread, he covered the bread, and he made kiddush. And that's the source for our custom to cover the bread. The question is why? Why did Rabbi Bar Avuna cover the bread, and why do we cover the bread? So has anyone heard anything over their ears? You can tell me, some guy in Brooklyn wanted to make money on selling fancy leather challah covers and painted challah covers.
Maybe.
Okay, we'll get to that. I'm still not sure what that means. But you don't embarrass the bread. Okay, that'll be the third reason we'll discuss. Anything else? Okay, so Rashbam is the first explanation.
The two was covered.
Okay, good. That's number two. Two for two. One more?
What? Checks.
Stickers. I'm bringing stickers. Mitzuyan. So the first explanation is by the Rashbam. The Rashbam quotes the Shiltos, is one of the Gonim. His language is that the food should come liyakra de shabsa. It should be special for Shabbos. We just said before, if you're eating your meal on Friday afternoon, you could continue on Shabbos. So how do you know the food is being is special for Shabbos? So what do? You cover it. Think like you go to your restaurant and they bring out the food. It's covered in like the cover. And they open up the cover. It's, you know, happy birthday or whatever. It's special. It's special for you. So Shabbos, the bread, the food, let's go with bread. The bread could have been on the table Friday afternoon. You could have had a large lunch, a big lunch, which extended into Shabbos. How do you show that this is special for Shabbos? So what do? You cover it. You make Kiddush, you sanctify the Shabbos, now Shabbos has begun, Shabbos already began 40 minutes ago in Shul. But now you make Kiddush, you're establishing, you're sanctifying the day by reciting Kiddush, and now, wow, open up the food, and now I have bread. It's a sign that it's special for Shabbos. That's one idea. Our meals, our Friday night meal, is not just the Thursday night dinner, just with our family and no phones. It's to be special for Shabbos. So that's one explanation, Yakar the Shabbos. Toso says what Jonathan said. If you take a look in source 3, Yesh Mefarish Zecher Laman. It's a reminder or remembrance for the man. Shalom Haya Yori B'Shabbos Yom Tov. It didn't fall on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Vayatal Milamala Umilamata. There was dew above, dew below, that man being time, and the man was in between. It was dew, man, dew. And therefore, we cover the challah. We'll see later, this is giving the source which have the challah board also. Right, the dew was on top and on the bottom, the man in between, so therefore we have a covering on top of the challah. Not very nice? It's a zecher to the man. And to me, it's very difficult. Did the man fall on Shabbos? It did. That was the one day it didn't fall. Right? We got a double portion on Friday. So if the man didn't fall on Shabbos, so why are we making this zecher l'man on the one day where there was no man? I would tell you, if you have a bagel on a Tuesday, so cover the bagel. You have a hamburger on Sunday at a barbecue, cover the hamburger. Zecher l'man. If the whole reason you're coming to the challah is zecher l'man, and Shabbos is the one day there was no man, so what's the point of covering? Why are you covering the challah on Shabbos? So the Chavetz Chaim asks this question in a different context. The Shulchan Aruch in Source 4 says there's a minog to have pashtida on Shabbos. What's pashtida? It's dough. It's deli roll. It's exactly. Pashtida is deli roll. It's dough with meat inside the dough. A meat bereka, a deli roll. So the Shulchan Aruch says there was a minog to have pashtida b'leil Shabbos. Zecher l'mon. We have deli roll, we have this meat stuffed in between dough, as a reminder to the man, says the Shulchan Aruch, Shayim Mechusa L'mal L'mata. Shulchan Aruch says, I don't see people who are makbid on this. You know, before Susie Fishbein's cookbooks, I guess they weren't eating deli roll. The Chavetz Chaim asks in Source 5, L'chor Minig Zet Temua, it makes no sense. Says the Chavetz Chaim, why are we making a zikr to the dew on Shabbos when the one day the dew didn't fall? So the Chafetz Chaim, because of Michi, we got it without you. So that's the question the Chafetz Chaim wants to know. Why is there a minog to cover the bread to remind us of the man on the one day the man did not fall? Very strong question. So I want to suggest an answer, which I think will pump more meaning into this explanation of Tosos. We know the Mon was the ultimate Nisayon, was the ultimate test for a Jew. The Pasuk says in Source 6, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, God said to Moses, Hinei mamti lachem lechem in Hashemayim, I'm going to pour down, I'm going to rain down to you bread from the sky. V'yatza'am v'loktu dvar yom biyomo, and the nation is going to go and they're going to collect this dew every day. L'man anasenu, so that I could test you. Hayelech b'sorasim lo, if you'll follow my ways. The mon was actually provided, but God didn't need to do it that way. God did it in order to test us. The mon was the, what was it a test for? What did it test us?
Belief,
that's the Ramban. We won't read it inside. The Ramban, Source 9, says that the test of the mon was that you didn't know where money was coming from. You didn't know if you were going to be able to pay your bills at the end of the month. You didn't know what food you're going to have the next day. A Jew can still follow God and still live and still believe, even when he doesn't know it's going to be the next day. That's a great test.
Wouldn't it have been a
test for the first time? that's a glaring difficulty. How long would the mon fall? 40 years in the desert. So, okay, the first week, take the most cynical guy in the world. Think of the most cynical guy. You? Yeah. I'm recording this. Your dad's in shul enough that there's no way he's the most cynical guy. The most cynical guy. I mean, after how long? It's a certain point, like, okay, God, we I'm going to leave that as a question. It's an excellent question. It's an excellent question, not for now. But that's the Ramban. The Ramban said that was a test. Rashi says there's a different test. The test was they're halachos of the mon. How to collect the mon, what to do with the mon, what to do on Friday, what to do on Saturday. So it was a test for how you would treat the mon. The Or HaChaim has a different explanation. And I want to read inside. Or HaChaim in Source 8. Laman anasenu. Ki lechem min hashemayim, this bread, this heavenly bread, this mon. What's English for mon?
Manna.
It's like banana, is the Hebrew, right? It's like that. Okay. Ki lechem min hashemayim lo yitzarich shum tikun. Bread that fell, they need to do anything to it. It didn't need to be cooked. It didn't need to be prepared. We know Chazal say that for the tzaddikim, it tasted whatever you wanted it to taste like. There was no preparation needed. Ubezeh yiyu pinuyim mikol. The Jews had no worries. What was their worry in the desert? Nothing. Everything was provided. They didn't need to work. What did they need to work? They had the ananiya covered was their shelter. There was no mortgage. There was no rent. Then there was no food. There was no heat and electricity. There was no water bill. They didn't have to buy clothing for their wives and children. Their clothing didn't outgrow their clothing, and it didn't wither away. So what, they didn't have anything. They didn't do anything. Even the
food. Right?
What?
With Mondays, I'm not going to inflation either.
So I think the Mepharshim talked about that. If you for lunch said this is a steak, and now an hour later you want a coffee, so is it milk shakes? Is it flay shakes? What's the bracha on man? These are all. Interesting. Some people get very, very busy with these dances with Avraham Avinu, right? With the food. Okay. They don't have to do anything. So what was the test? Says the Or HaChaim, Ve'era Hayelech. I'm going to see what the Jews do. I'm providing for the Jews in the desert. They don't have to worry about anything. There's nothing for them to do. How are they?
That's the worst.
Because you get no excuse.
What a disaster.
Right. Well, that's the Nisayon. You know, often we complain how busy, and it's not just a complaint, it's a reality. We're so busy. We have so much to take care of. There's so much to do. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to take care of every single thing you need, and we'll see. There's no excuse. There's no excuse anymore. So I think that might be, yes, I don't know if this is right, it's my own pshat, that's why you have a Zecher Laman on Shavuos. It's not a reminder or remembrance of the mon that fell. It's the message, the meaning of the mon. The meaning of the mon is when you don't have that much to do, there's not a lot going on, what are you doing? Shabbos is the greatest time. It's actually It's the only time where we can really live with that message. So Friday night we come, there's nothing going on. I got no work. I mean, I got an excuse. I got work on Shabbos. But for everyone else, there's no work. There's no phone. There's nothing to do. You can't check up on work. There are plenty of other nisyonos on Shabbos. But Shabbos is a time where we could accomplish more. We could spend more time with our children. We could enjoy. Okay, the problem is there's still like dishes to wash, and there's plenty of things to do. But the idea is that on Shabbos, there's much less going on. It's a zecher for the mon, what the mon represented. The mon represented all your needs are taken care of. It's time to focus on spirituality. Shabbos, perhaps, is the greatest time to have a zecher of the mon. Not a zecher of the mon that fell, but a zecher to the message and the ideal of the mon. I think that might be a deeper understanding of this Tosos of zecher of the mon. And I think that could impact us when we see the challah covered. We think of the mon. We think of that message. It could shape how our Shabbos looks like. That is source two. Source three is this, or that was explanation two. Explanation three is what Jonathan said. We've heard this when we're little, perhaps. You know how I cover the challah? So we don't embarrass the bread. What does that mean? The Russian source 10 quotes a Yerushalmi. Ubi Yerushalmi, the kamer porson mapa, cover the challah, the bread. Kidei shelo yira hapas boshto. The bread shouldn't literally be embarrassed. What's the embarrassment?
Order
of brachos. Normally, there's a rule. There's an order for when to say a bracha. It's based on the psukim. Eretz, chita, seora, gefen, te'ena, rimon, all the seven minim. So wheat products, mizonos, hamotzi, the bracha comes before a bar prayer gefen. So we got a problem Friday night. I got bread on my table, but I was supposed to make kiddush first. You actually can't eat before you make kiddush. And we want to make kiddush. Kiddush sets up the Shabbos. It starts the day. So what am I going to do? I got to say hamotzi first. But I got to do. I got to make kiddush first. So what do? You cover the bread. It's as if it's not there. And this way, the bread is not, so to speak, embarrassed that it's being skipped over. The Mordechai says the same thing. Yishli din tam, dino shol levai yesh esapas. You shouldn't embarrass the bread. If the bread was covered, uncovered without a covering, yeah, boshes lapas, it'd be embarrassing. Every day we make the bracha on the bread before the wine. Now, it's a nice explanation.
Such a strange thing.
What about strange? Oh, good. So this is where I want to understand this.
You heard this from little kids.
It makes no. I've searched and I spoke to a lot of big rabbis in the last 2 weeks about this. If the Rishonim would have just said, "There's a halacha of order of brachos," we don't want people to forget about that halacha. If every Friday night you just skipped over and you went hagefen and then hamotzi, then on Tuesday night that might happen. And Thursday night you go out to eat with a bunch of guys and you get a glass of wine. You're going to mistakenly make the gefen before you have your crackers or whatever. That I hear, right? I hear. Let's cover the challah. Avoid that halacha being forgotten. But that I can hear. And that sounds like what they're saying. But what's this boshes apas? Bread has no boshes. There's no feelings. In fact, the Gemara in Baba Kama discusses what when you injure someone, one of the methods of payment is for embarrassment. And the Gemara says, this is requires a whole other shiur, that a shota, a mentally deranged a person, has no feelings, has no boshes. And if you damage that person, you're not obligated to pay for the boshes. You're going to have to pay for the pain and for the damage, but not for the embarrassment. It's difficult. That's the topic for another time. A very small child, a person, God forbid, hurts a three-year-old child. There's no boshes. So there's boshes for bread. So obviously, it means something more than that. What does it mean? I don't know. I was at RJJ last night.
The people that if you're worried about the feelings of challah, where it really is, that when you deal with people, you should have that
attitude. So one pshat might be similar to what everyone says, why Moshe wouldn't strike the water for Dam, right? And Moshe didn't strike the ground for Kinim. Why did Moshe strike the water? Hakar, the water saved him, so he had gratitude to the water. Gratitude to water? What does that mean? And everyone tells a story that Rav Gustman, who was a big Talmud Chacham in Vilna and escaped or survived in, during the Holocaust, came to America, and every week he used to water his plants and his flowers. And he used to be gardening. He was a big Rosh Yeshiva with a long beard and his long coat. And he used to do gardening. And his Talmidim were like, Rebbe, it's not appropriate. It's not becoming for you. You're on your hands and knees. You're getting dirty. You're watering your flowers. He said, these bushes, the flowers saved me in the war. When I was running through the forest, I think he was with the partisans, he ate. He ate the bushes and the berries, and so he says, "I have such a kar satov." Okay. You should be a person if you're makir tov, if you have gratitude to the water and to everything, to inanimate objects, then maybe you'll start to have gratitude to people also. Not necessarily. No, I mean, like the Nazis started animal rights. If you think about it, it's right? So maybe that's the pshat. If you should be a person who has sensitivity. But still, it's not. There's no sensitivity. It's bread.
Could this just be more practical when you've got two-year-old little fingers trying to grab after the bread? Don't you see it's covered? Keep your hands off that thing.
Right.
Why is it covered? Because we're trying to be respectful.
Respectful too. Right. So I was talking. I was at Marv last night at 10:40 at RGJ. So I started talking to Eichenstein about it. So he was very bothered. What bread of embarrassment. He did say, interestingly, you do have a lot of, this isn't really going to explain, you do have a lot of halachos about bread and honoring the bread. You don't just throw away bread, right? You're supposed to wrap it and throw away. Why? It's bread. You don't have a halacha by fish, by candy. Right? You don't have that. You don't have that halacha by other food items. You're not supposed to throw bread. Right? Maybe it's other foods also. There's a kavod to bread. He said the word used when bread is like burned on chametz is kisufa, nechsaf, which is the Aramaic for embarrassment. So he didn't have an approach, but I don't know. There is something to work with here. There is something about bread. Bread represents life. Kiyal lechem yichya adam. Back in the time of Gemara, that's all they had. Bread, I don't know. But I'm bothered by this. Maybe the only shot I can think of is what you said. You should be a person who's uber sensitive. But still, it's hard to understand. It's bread. Food doesn't have feelings, right? So I don't have a good shot. Most people will tell you what it really means is that there's an order of brachos, and you have to make sure you preserve that halacha, the order of brachos. Why the Rishonim use the funny language of Boshu Zapas? I don't know. But what I do know, and I thank one of my colleagues, Rabbi Yoni Mandelstam, point this out to me. There's a special aspect of Boshes, of man, on Shabbos. There's a Nesiva Shalom in Source 12. And if I knew Mitch was coming, I would have put more of the Nesiva Shalom in. The Nesiva Shalom writes, and we'll read parts of it, Tova Mardus Achas Belibo Shel Adam. This is a little bit of depressing. You don't usually see Nesiva Shalom. He's usually much more upbeat and uplifting. He says, better is Mardus, I guess is feelings of rebellion in the lathe of a person, in the heart of a man. That has more of an impact than Mea Malchios, and 100 lashes. Adidesh Yehudi Shover Levavo V'Koseis Atzmo. When a Jew breaks his heart and crushes himself, and it's not, right, Mitch, it's not a very Nesiva Shalom-esque. Miskayim bo kasis lamar. He becomes pure. He becomes able to be a Jew who understands the light. He says, v'zeh derech lahasiga or agonis b'Shabbos. There's this hidden light on Shabbos which we're all trying to attain. It's the spirituality. It's that feeling on Shabbos. And that's how to get it. He says, u'kideisa she'erev Shabbos u'echad mizmani tshuva. Friday afternoon is one of the most opportune times for tshuva. Shebepanya demali shabsa, as Shabbos is about to enter, kasher Yehudi rotze likanis Shabbos kodesh, when a Jew enters into Shabbos, and here's the key, umardish atzmo kol kach rachok echi kanis Shabbos kodesh, when a Jew about to enter Shabbos and thinks, whoa, yo, how much? Shabbos. Shabbos is the holiest day of the year. Shabbos, that we spoke about the first week, is our marriage, our yichud with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're entering into this marriage and we should feel, whoa, am I ready? Do I deserve this challah? Have I been faithful? Can I do it? When a Jew feels that, Al Yudei Shem Meshaber Es Levavo Miskayim Bo Mizbeach Avana B'Shivron Levavo, he creates a Mizbeach, an altar for himself to get closer to God when he has those feelings. And this is the kicker. Ukim, skip down two lines. Ukimod Amar B'Tikune Zohar. The Zohar writes, Hafach Boshes. If you flip around the letters Boshes, what do you get? V'Tishakach, and you'll find Shabbos. Boshes, Beis Shin Tov, and Shabbos, Shin Beis Tov, are the same letters. If you flip around Boshes, if you develop Boshes entering the Shabbos, then you'll have a proper Shabbos. Hashar li kanis l'Shabbos Kodesh, hu abusha v'shivron alev, sheyesh l'Yehudi, ba'omdo li kanis l'Shabbos, ve'ein lo b'ma li kanis. Shadei Boshes, Tishakach Shabbos. Habusha atzma he avuro chnis l'Shabbos. He says the idea is to enter into Shabbos. The best way to enter into Shabbos, and I never heard this before, is through boshes. When a person, and I don't think it means like an embarrassment. A person realizes like, whoa, I had this whole week, and I'm not so close right now. I don't deserve. Right, like they tell us that we should think that way when we get married. That who am I? I don't deserve my wife. She's so amazing. I'm so lucky. Shabbos, we feel that same boshes. We're entering into Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh. It's the Yichud Bo'ikala. Like we spoke about Tzeischem Hashem, because we want to just be us and God. No angels. We feel a little bit of boshes. Like, who am I to do that? And that gets us into the mode. I've never done this, but that could get us into might depress us even more and say, what's the point? And give up. But that could get us into the zone, into the mood of Shabbos that, wow, I'm now gonna turn things around and get ready for Shabbos. So I was just thinking, if Shabbos is a time of Boshes, Shabbos and Boshes are the same letters, maybe there's some connection. Maybe there's some connection. It needs to be flushed out a little bit. Maybe there's some connection to being sensitive to Boshes Apas, whatever that means, specifically on Shabbos. Maybe that's why this halacha originated on a Shabbos, because Shabbos is a time of busha, of Boshes. So being sensitive to whatever that Boshes Apas means can maybe help us get into this zone that the Nesivah Shalom is referring to. So those are the three explanations. You have Yakar the Shabsa, make it special for Shabbos. Ah, Shabbos starts Kiddush. Now I'm opening up the meal. Now I'm starting. Now I'm bringing out the food. Special for Shabbos. This is not a Friday food. This is for Shabbos. Number two, Zeich Laman. The man was surrounded, dew on top, dew beneath. The man in between. So we have that Zecher, why on Shabbos? Because it's Nisayon. And this third idea of Boshes Apas. In the halakhic world, you have a lot of practical differences between these different reasons. Do you need to cover the bread at Shalosh Shittos? So what would you say?
You're not making Kiddush.
So if you learn it's because of Boshes Apas, then certainly not. If you learn Zecher Laman, presumably, yeah. If you learn Yakar DeShabsa, no, because that's only Friday. The food could have been out Friday afternoon. Now you're showing it's special for Shabbos. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that from the fact that we don't cover the challah at Shalosh Shittos, that proves that the main reason is not Zeich Laman, is not the first reason special for Shabbos. It's because of Boshes Apas. It's because of Zeich Laman. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan learns.
Let's say one more thing. We just talked about Nesivat Shalom. I think it's in that same piece, maybe a few pieces later, that Shalosh Shittos is like yichudim of the marriage. So
right. It's
already done. Like, it's over. You're not embarrassed anymore. You're already connected. Whatever,
right.
What it is.
Interesting. Very good. Yeah, they say, because Mincha, we say Ata Echad, Veshimcha Echad. It's a time where we focus on the our being one with God. Right. Very nice. Okay, this is a big one, and people have asked me when they've been at my house and seen me do this. When should you uncover the challah, or when can you uncover the challah? So what do you do? After Kiddush? After you wash?
If it's Boshes, it would be after you make the Kiddush.
So they say like this, if it's Boshes a pass, then when?
It would be after you make
It could actually be in the middle of Kiddush because you say your Borei Pri HaGefen and then you're Mekadesh out. So you would be able to uncover it. I don't know why anyone would, right? It doesn't make sense to that. But you would technically be able to uncover it right after you make your Borei Pri HaGefen, which is mid-Kiddush. If you learn it's because of Yakar D'Shabsa, so right after Kiddush, you'd be able to uncover it. If you learn that's because of Zecher Laman, so the Prisha, who's a parish on the tour, the Prisha says what you should do is keep it covered. Again, let me do a little show and tell. The Prisha says you keep it covered for your Hamotzi. And this is what I do. You pick up the bread and you keep it covered, maybe with the challah board also, I'm not sure. You keep it covered. And then what you do is you slide out the challah from underneath the board because it says that's the difference of the man. If you want to have a zecher l'man, then try to replicate what happened with the man as much as possible. There they picked it up and they slid the man out from the dew. They didn't take the dew off and put it to the side. I don't know how he knows that. It's not so clear in the psukim. The Eli Rabbah says the pasuk sounds not that way, but the Prisha says you want to replicate what happened with the man. They slid out the bread from in between the man, and therefore we should keep it covered for the bracha. And after you make the bracha, slide it out from underneath the cover. That's one approach. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say that right after the Kiddush, you could uncover it. What most people do is they just keep it covered until they sit down at the table or until they finish washing. They wash, they come down, they uncover it, and they pick up their bread with the bracha. Without the cover on, both minhagim are equally valid, but that's another practical difference between the different reasons why we cover the challah. Do you need a challah board? Now, practically, you don't want to, if you have a nice table, you don't want to cut your table or throw your tablecloth, but would you need a challah board? You see this, that you're at a bar mitzvah, you're at an ufra for Shabbat brachos, so do you need a challah board?
Why would you need a board? Isn't there a tablecloth?
So, why would you need a challah board? So, let me not use board, but the Levush says, if it's Zecher L'mon, so what the mon have, like Tosa says, Talmi L'mala and Talmi L'mata. So you should have something underneath. A tablecloth, you're not putting anything, it should be something special underneath. The challah board, your tablecloth is just like, is part of your table. So says the Eli Rabbah, the Shmir Shabbos, Kehilchasa, brings us down l'alacha. That's better to have a board. Again, if you learn Yakar D'Shabsa, you don't need anything underneath it. If you learn it's because the bush is a pas, you could put it right on the table, right on the table. If you learn it's Zeich L'mon, so there's a minhag to have that. There's a minhag brought down by the Eli Rabbah to have a white challah cover. Why? Again, if you learn Zeich L'mon, the man was white. The man was white, or the dew was white. Something about the man and the dew. Well,
I thought it was like kugel. I thought the inside would be white, the top would be like.
You picture mun like kugel?
That's what they say. Kugel like mun, sure. You gotta look at the small print.
I agree.
It
says, what?
It's a kipashtido. It says, no, I'm not making this up. They said the mun is like kugel. People have it on Shabbos. It's like mun. It's top and the bottom. And
so you assume our kugel today looks like the kugel looked back then?
Yeah, well, it's burnt on the top, burnt on the bottom. You got the light stuff in the middle.
I'm not sure. Fine. One other major nafkamina, which does come up a lot, and you see, I've seen a lot of people confused about this, is what about other food on the table? If the cover, when does this happen? Usually Friday night, you don't have anything else on the table. But sometimes you go to a bar mitzvah, a shav brachos, an ufra, whatever, and they have the pickles, the coleslaw, the fish. The fish is never good and they leave it on the table for so long. It always...
The boats of coleslaw.
Yeah, or you might have another... you might have like... if they're serving soup, they'll have those long... like not pretzel rods. You know what I'm talking about? The breadsticks. The breadsticks are like the crackers with the seeds on it. So do you have to cover that stuff? So talk it out. If you learn that it's Yakar D'Shabsa, then yeah, presumably, cover everything. If it's Zecher L'mon...
No.
Maybe only the bread? Yeah. Maybe mizonos? Yeah. If you learn it's boshes a pas, then no. Well, mizonos, yes, because kediman bracha, the order of bracha. So it's a big discussion.
What about the
sterling gemara was bread, but that might only be because they had bread. You don't know if they had anything else on the table. This comes up, the Shmiras Shabbos, in the bottom of page 3, talks about, this happens all the time, at a Kiddush. If you're at a Kiddush, and you're making Kiddush, this cake, often they have cake, or kichel, or whatever, on the table where the wine and grape juice and schnapps is. So do you have to cover that stuff? Great. So if you take a look at the footnote in source 24, let's take a look at it inside. He says, "Umatzu adavar bekiddush orchem beisakneses b'shabbos b'boker achar tefila." There's a kiddush in shul. Umine mizonos munachem al shulchan. There's mizonos. There's cake. There's cookies. There's kugel, noodle kugel, Charles, and you should cover it. He says, however, as follows: "V'shemati me'agon shomu zalman orbach shlita." Now it's zikr tzag levracha. To me, she ain't a choshev lito me ayayin shalom akadish, ain't a chayav lechasos as a mizono shalom. If you're not going to drink from the wine, right? I'm being motzi you in Kiddush. You don't have to cover the bread that you're going to eat if you're not drinking the wine.
Right, so I was going to ask that. So let's say you're at that scenario, we had a shever bechas, and there's a big table, and you're making motzi for the table. You have to cover. You always have that super frum guy that goes around and covers
with the table, with the he takes his napkin and puts it over the thing.
Like,
right.
Sure, where he's from. So is that really true?
So if he's going to drink, so I don't want to get any really frum. I don't want to get question any really frum guys.
Usually the guys are just back from kind of dead.
Right. Or the guy who's always acting like. Right. So it depends. If you're making kiddush, you have to cover your challah, obviously. Let's say you're making kiddush for the whole table, and am I drinking from your wine or no?
What happened?
Am I drinking from your wine?
No, I'm
going
to pour it into your
glass. Okay, so then Rav Shlomo says you have to carve the bread.
Really?
Yeah, but often the guy makes kiddush. Not everyone's drinking from his wine.
So to get back to your scenario, though, if you're a kiddush and you're making kiddush and this cake in front of your cake and kichel, you have to cover that. You have to cover the cake.
According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, you do. Yes.
So what's your answer? Go away from the cake.
So what does everyone else do?
Should you just not take?
Now I'm sure there might be other opinions. There's a wild story we're not going to get to. You can look at the letter of Soloveitchik. They say they used to always bother him to go on these rabbinic conferences. He never wanted to go. So finally, one time, he said he would go. And he went. And he gets to the dining room, the Chadar Ocha, on Friday night. And he was shocked to see the table was set with food array. I don't know. There was fish on the table. There was other foods on the table. And he started screaming. It says here, Hiskil Litzok Shadavarzeu Neged Adin. It's against the Gemara. And he said he pressured the waiters to remove all the food from the table and bring it back into the kitchen before you make Kiddush. And then it says, Upana al Rabbanim Shalakzu Alav Shayavov Yishtatif Shabbaton. He turned to the rabbis who urged him to come. V'amar lahem Shalok Kenemarti Lachem Shayoser Tov Yalachem Im Lo Ashtatif. It'd be better if you didn't invite me. And he made them remove all the food.
Why is the objection?
Because he held that you have to have all the food. He says, Yakr de Shabbos, it's be special for Shabbos. So all food, it's not just a din and bread. That's all food. That's only Friday night. That's not Shabbos day. If it's Bosh HaZapas, so everything, maybe not. But he held that the real reason was Yakr de Shabbos, it's be special for Shabbos, and that would relate to all foods. To answer your question, most I've never really seen it done. So there's probably a reason.
What are you doing that good? That's the question.
I don't care. What are you right here? Okay. I'm not sure. I'll ask Ray Lubin later. But there's probably a reason. Now, if you learn Bush of the Pass, it makes sense to cover the bread, the cake. If you learn Zeich Laman, maybe you'll argue that Zeich Laman is only bread. That's probably the argument. Zeich Laman is only the bread. So, I don't know. The last thing I want to mention. If you look back at the Gemara, and this has bothered me for years, go back to source 1. The Gemara quotes a brisa, "Ein mevi'in es ha-shulchan, ela im ken kiddush." Don't bring the table until you make kiddush. If you bring it, so what should you do? So you cover it. Don't bring the bread until you make kiddush. That's Yakar the Shabsa. Okay, if it's there, you want to show it special for Shabbos, so we cover it. So, always growing up, and when I got married forever, you have the challah, you make sure it's on the table before Kiddush. Right? To the point that when I got married, my mother-in-law, she's great, she should live and be well, she would always not put the challah out until after Kiddush. Why? Because it was on the hot plate, it was in the warmer. She wanted to be as hot as possible. So why take it out and uncover it? It's going to lose some of the... You want to be challah, hot challah, Friday night is the best, right? So, and I used to get all upset at her. I was like, it's ridiculous. Why? Just bring it out. Okay, so it'll be a little less hot, right? So really, I was that like from the firm Shana Beck guy. When you learn through the sugya, to me...
No ice on Shabbos?
What?
No ice on Shabbos?
You don't make ice or don't eat ice?
I eat ice.
Who doesn't eat ice on Shabbos?
You're looking up things on the bed. Like, you don't have ice on Shabbos.
The Shana Kilo guys, they don't eat ice.
I hear.
It's so cool.
I hear. I know. I do like ice. I'm not so frum, man. So to me, it makes sense. Not the Gemara says, don't bring it out until you make it. All right, if it's there, so cover it. Why is it out? It seems to be so clear not to bring it out until you make Kiddush. In fact, if you take a look, the last source, the Gra. Sefer Maisa Rab, which brings in all the Minhagim of the Gra, B'shas Kiddush Alayayin, Lo Yehei Halechem Al Shulchan. And I saw this, I was super excited. The Gra writes, don't have the bread on the table when you make Kiddush. Rav Nevensol in Source 28, you can take a look at it later, he explained it's for this reason. The Gemara says, don't, if the bread is there, so you cover it. Okay, why do they cover it? We're going to stand on our head to try to explain why you cover it. Zecher Laman, which maybe doesn't make so much sense, as the Baruch Acha pointed out. Boshes Apas, we don't know what that means. Yakar the Shabsa, so just don't bring it out. The Gra, Rav Nevensol writes that way. So I stopped. I started now. I'm not saying anyone here should do that. Most people keep it on the table. To me, it makes so much sense in light of this Gemara. If you do, cover it. So just keep it out. So I called my mother-in-law and I apologized. No, I didn't. I'll probably still argue when I go there. You know, we're very proud.
Yeah.
So that I think is it makes sense that way. Some people told me that you have the challah on the table because it used to be a problem. People used to keep their candles on the table. They didn't also have a buffet and a side table. Candles are muktzah. You have a halacha called a busis. If you have a table or any area and muktzah is on that area, the whole thing becomes muktzah. Right? So the whole table is being muktzah for the whole Shabbos and you need to move it to the side, move it out of the way. So if you put chal on the table, so now it's a busis for a davar usur vidavar mutter. So if you have a busis for something, if you have a candle, you have a tray under your candlesticks and you put, I don't know, an apple on it, so then before Shabbos, so maybe that's why people have bread on the table. But that doesn't really work because that only works if you put the bread on the table before Shabbos. I don't know anyone who's doing that. You know what, your challah is going to be warm when you do that. So I don't know. Again, the minhag ha'olam, most people have seen, hopefully not, but most people I've seen have had the challah. They bring it beforehand, and again, that's certainly a minhag ha'olam. The Gra, and I've heard since of other rabbanim who have done that. To me, it makes the most sense. So we have that's why we cover the challah. I think the message to take out is the man zecher leman, not necessarily a zecher for the man falling because the man didn't fall on Shabbos. Zecher for what the man represented, that in the Sion, for what our Shabbos could look like, to have this idea of Boshes, of Shabbos, Boshes, same words, to enter into Shabbos with that feeling of God, I'm not worthy, and I want to get to the point where I'm worthy, and this idea of Yakar the Shabbos, and hopefully through that, it'll enhance our Shabbos. I thank you again, Harvey, for sponsoring the shir, and everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. We will... By show of hands, who did not daven Marv? All right, so we'll daven down here in a minute.